All right, so why do patterns continue to happen generation after generation? There's actually a quantum physics answer to that question. And do you know anything about string theory, quantum physics? Okay. Long story short, we're all connected by something that they call strings. These strings, they liken unto music, and that they transcend space and time, and that everything in the earth is connected. There's a unity in our singularity. Okay? Mm-hmm. Well, that is actually what the Word of God says, that we have inside of us the musical chord. That's what it's called, the musical chord, not a musical chord. So there's not three people in this room with three musical chords. No, there's three people in this room and there's one musical chord and it's inside all of us. So the way that music works in the natural reveals to us how the musical chord works on the inside of us. It's frequencies. So if you were to hit a bass guitar, it's going to have a low tone. And how does that bass guitar happen? You take something, a string, a metal string, you put it under tension, it's twisted, you tighten that tension down, and then you strike it, you pluck it, you hit it. And as you do that, it resonates a sound. Well, your heart does the same thing. It resonates a sound all the time. As a matter of fact, they can record your frequencies out of your body and now play it back in sound. And they call it a song. Everybody has a different song. So how does that happen inside of you? Not only all of your memories are recorded, but your DNA is recorded. So let's just talk about one of the situations that we've uncovered. Feeling like a failure. Feeling like you don't measure up. Feeling separated and different from your family. Feeling like the oddball out. The Bible says that as a man thinks, so is he. And whatever you believe or whatever you hold as true, you'll have. So if you believe that you are different and separate and a failure or don't measure up or not good enough, it doesn't matter how hard you work, how much money you make, or how many accomplishments you have, you will still continue to get those beliefs come back at you. I am a failure. I don't measure up. I'm not good enough. So how is that possible? How is it that we can bust our behind, do all kinds of great things, do accomplishments that in the natural mind would say this would solve that problem, but it not solve the problem? Because whatever you believe, you'll have. So if you believe you're a failure, as a core belief inside your heart, that's a frequency that is always vibrating. It's always there. It's always a resounding song inside of you. It literally leaves your body, and it's from you, and it goes out into all the universe, and then it comes back to you. Now, we're made in God's image, and the Bible says that everything is from God, for God, and back to God. So if everything is from God, for God, and back to God, and we're just like Him, everything's from us, for us, and returns back to us. So why does it keep returning with this bad information? Why does my life keep returning back to me, I am failure? I am not measuring up, no matter what I do. Even though I can make X number of dollars, even though I can have all these great accomplishments in my work world, how is it that my life keeps saying, you're a failure? Because that's what you believe. And God loves us so much that He refuses to leave you in that lie. Why? Because your identity never was, nor shall it ever be, in what somebody else thinks of you. Your identity has always been and shall always be in what God thinks of you and what God says about you. But we don't know that as a child. Adam and Eve didn't know it. They were in the garden with God in a perfect place, and they too were deceived into thinking, if I could be good and not be bad, then I'll be like God. They were already made in God's image. So after they ate from the tree, it says that God said, now they are like us, knowing both good and evil. So how is it that we were made like them, but then now they are like us? Because when He created us, He knew that we were not able to handle the power of the knowledge of good and evil. He knew it. So it wasn't like the devil snuck in and got one over on God. So what did God do about that? If he breathed everything out of himself, and in God is the knowledge of good and evil, and that came out of him too in the form of a tree called the knowledge of good and evil, then what was he going to do? What, not if his children ate from it, but when? He settled that issue before they were ever created. He formed them, and he divided them. Well, he actually put them to sleep. He formed them, put Adam to sleep, then divided the two. Why did he divide something? Because if he could separate them before, which separation means death, if he separated them before, then death couldn't have them eternally. So he separated them. They ate, which he knew they would do. But then he put them out of the garden. Why did he put them out? Because God loves us so much that he would not let us eat from the tree of eternal life in that condition. What condition? Not knowing who we are. If we would have ate from the tree of eternal life while we still were thinking we need to get like God, we would stay perpetually in that. Now, God created man on day number 6. According to some people, we're in what we would call the 6th day, or about to enter the 7th day. So what is happening now on earth? We're actually waking up to our identity. There are people starting to figure out who we really are as people. So who are we? The same exact thing Christ had to go through. If you are God's son, then he wouldn't let you go hungry. He'd feed you. Turn these stones into bread. And Jesus replies, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So then the second temptation comes along. And that temptation is, cast yourself down. Because if you are his son, he'll protect you. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The third temptation, if you'll just bow down to me, I'll give you all this stuff. Well, if you know that you're a son, guess what you also know? That everything that belongs to your father belongs to you. So you couldn't tempt Jesus with something he already owned. So the identity question was the very thing that Eve and Adam couldn't overcome, but Christ overcame it. Christ overcame, I am my father's son, whether he feeds me or not. Whether I abound, or whether I'm abased, I am still my father's son. Whether he protects me or he don't protect me, I'm my father's son. Whether he allows me to taste and partake of my heritage or not, I'm still my father's son. Nothing can change who I am. Now, that's where you are right now. It's where I have to go through, where Michael has to go through, where everybody we know has to go through. Who am I? And the question is, am I what my mom and dad said about me? Am I what my siblings said about me? Am I what my coach or my teacher said about me? Am I what my wife says about me and my kids say about me? My boss says about me? My enemies? Or am I who my father says that I am? That's the question. And once that question has been settled in your heart and in your amygdala, then something changes in that musical chord that's inside of all of us. The sound changes. The frequency changes. The frequency goes from, who am I, to, I know who I am. Now, once you know who you are, just like when you don't know who you are, you draw all that stuff to you that says, see, I told you a failure. I told you you're a failure. I knew I was a failure. I've been knowing it since I was little. That is what you keep drawing to yourself. But when that shifts and you're no longer believing the lie and you now believe I am my father's son. What father? Father on earth? No. Heavenly Father. I am my heavenly mother's son. Who's that? Holy Ghost. I am the lover of Christ. Who's that? The bride. The one who receives the blood of Christ as my atonement. When you know that, and you don't just know it in your frontal lobe, but you know it in your amygdala through your emotions, every cell in your body literally opens up, and those ligands, those chemical ligands, are deposited at the cellular level, even in the bone and the marrow. The Bible even talks about the sword that can cut through the bone and the marrow, and it comes through the emotion. So whenever I take you into any memory, doesn't matter which one. Some people think you have to go to the root memory. No, the root's still connected to the top of the tree. And if I put poison at the top of the tree, the root's going to get it, right? So all I need is any memory in your mind that will provoke the lie that said you were a failure. The lie that said you'll never measure up. Once I engage that part of your brain and we deposit new information that you are loved, you are accepted, you are the beloved, that even if something is against you, God's going to turn it for your good and use it for His glory. Once we deposit that in the brain while it's still open to the lie, what happens is that which was a part truth now becomes the rest of the story. Because see, the part truth is you did make some failures in your life. The part truth is people did reject you. The part truth is people did judge you unjustly. That's a fact. But now how do we get the rest of the story of what God says about you? We get that by opening up that memory, having all those chemical ligands and the frequency in your bloodstream, which is maybe make you cry, might make your stomach feel funny, might make you feel like you got a lump in your throat, might make your hands sweaty. All of that's good news because that means the chemicals are in every cell in your body. Otherwise, it wouldn't be affecting your body. But once we switch that and we put that new information, now the musical chord in your heart is sending out a different frequency. And if that frequency of a lie is so powerful that for 40-something years it can bring you failure, how much greater is the truth that you are not a failure, that you are one with God and you are God's son, and that no matter what you put your hands to will prosper? That means your own family. That means everything will prosper. Once that gets in your bloodstream, then you have to draw that to you. It can't not come to you. Why? The Bible says that goodness and mercy shall chase you down and overtake you. And that's what we're going to be working in, is that part of the brain that's connected to the heart where the musical chord is, where all things are connected, where eternity is, and where all the issues of your life flow from, which is your heart.